I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. That's what it is.
Everybody, my name's Amanda. I'm a grateful addict. Very tired, but very fucking grateful. Thank you, God, for asking me to be a service. It's always an honorship of the spirit, which is Cocaine Anonymous. Thank you, George. Thank you to all those who read, all those who, you know, who made this event possible. And thank you, John. You reminded me of the convention when we hang around together in Birmingham. Do you remember the whole weekend driving around with you? It was just awesome, man. And it's so good to see you again. And I'm so, so blessed to have you guys in my life. You know, any newcomers, please try and listen to the similarities and not the differences. Because I understand that this illness centers in the mind, and it's a disease of isolation. It's a disease of indifference. It's a disease of separation. And it separates us. You know, plays tricks on you, tells you you didn't smoke crack, you didn't do this, you didn't, you know, you didn't lose your kids, you shouldn't work as hard as me. That's irrelevant. Those are just consequences. If you've used or you drunk against your will, welcome to Cocaine Anonymous. That's what we have in common. Once we take one, we set off a phenomenon of craving, which is limited to the normal drinker or drug taker. I'm just going to share in a general way what it was like, what happened, where we are now. That beautiful meditation. Thank you, Ian. Thank you. Is there a topic or I can just share? Yeah. Just share.
You can just share. If you want to share a little bit on forgiveness, Amal, it's entirely up to you.
All right. Well, that's it. That's a good topic. I love that. You know, so guys, forgiveness. Yeah. Forgiveness is the key. I'll come into it. You know, I have so much forgiveness today for myself. And that's why I'm able to forgive others, because if I don't forgive myself, I can't. Others, you know, and how I understand that, I understand by, you know, step one, the first 43 pages, someone just called me. So first 43 pages tells me that lack of power is my dilemma. It explains to me that I'm not mad, I'm not crazy, I'm not different from others, I'm just powerless. And, you know, working that step and the rest of the steps enables me to forgive myself, to understand my illness, to understand what I suffer of. So if you are new, welcome to the fellowship of the spirit. Please don't be hard on yourself. Work the steps. Forgive yourself. Understand that you're not a bad person. You're just a sick person. You cannot stop no matter what. It's like, you know, you're crying, but you're buying the drink or a drug. You know, the big book tells me, page 24, I haven't got a memory of the humiliation of a week or a month ago. I am without defense against the first drink. Consequences do not keep me from drinking or drugging. I remember, you know, being sexually abused in a crack house, going back to the same man to sexually abuse me for great many years. I would go back and do it again and put myself in those situations because I've got an illness that centers in my mind. It's cunning, baffling and powerful, and it tells me I don't have it. You know, so rarely have we seen a person fail who thoroughly follows our path. Those people who do not recover are people who are incapable of being honest. I know it's hard and I really have empathy with the newcomers because I understand where you're coming from. Because I remember when I was a newcomer, this, my sobriety date is the 10th of October, 2004. And when I walked in the meeting, it was hard for me to be honest. Honesty is something that I don't do because I hid behind it. You know, I hid behind my dishonesty. It works for me. I couldn't be honest to save my life. I could not. I didn't understand that word. I was like, do you know who I am, where I'm coming from? How could I be honest, open-minded and willing? I get that, guys. But just try, just try. The only way you're going to get well is by brutally being honest to yourself. Nothing can but thoroughness and honesty from the very start. You know, I was born in the Mediterranean, and I'm Moroccan, you know, and I blame my using on that community. I blame my using on being a Muslim. I blame my using on my dad being an alcoholic. I blame my using on my dad walking out on me when I was seven. I blame my using on my mom, you know, meeting a man who was sexually abused me. I blamed. I blame God. I blame the devil. I blame my stepdad. I blame my brother. I blame my community. I blame society. I was just a victim, you see. And when I'm a victim, all I can do is get loaded because I'm a victim. Today, by the grace of God, the power greater than me that I chose to call God today, I will not apologize and I will not be ashamed of that. The big book tells me men and women of faith have courage. They have courage because they trust their God. That's the God I serve. By the grace of God today, I understand what I suffer of. I get it. And I'm no longer a victim. And that is so freeing. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. If you are here and you feel like a victim, my God be with you. If you're a newcomer, that's understandable. If you've worked the steps, have had a spiritual awakening, you should not feel like a victim. You know, it's about manning up. It's about putting our hand up and making amends and saying sorry. So basically, I came into this country when I was 17. And all through my childhood, quickly, I just want to share about this codependency. I was really codependent. You know, it was all about people. It was all about seeking people's approval. It meant a lot to me. What you guys think of me meant a lot to me. I remember when my friends would stop talking to me, I wouldn't go to school, I wouldn't eat. You know, I'm sick with temperature, I'm crying. My life depended on people, seeking people's approval. You know, the big book talk about that, self-seeking. That was me, feeling sorry for myself, self-pity. You know, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, thinking I'm this gangster or I'm this special woman. You know, and I was so codependent that it was just a nerve-wracking. If you're here again and that's how you feel and you've got someone which is human as your higher power, my God be with you. Because I understand that the purpose of the book is to find the power that will solve your problem. Because if no human power could stop me from smoking crack, not the love of my kids, not my rapist, no one can, not the police, not my mom. You know, I have to seek something supernatural. No human power. If I'm powerless, I need the power. If I'm homeless, I need a house. If I'm hungry, I need food. Common sense. So, you know, I have to give credit to my God. I have to talk about my higher power. I sit here before you by the grace of God. I cannot rest on my laurels. I cannot be ungrateful. So basically, I came in here when I was 17, and it was one big fucking party for me, you know. I partied so fucking hard. It was hilarious, you know, the rave scene, the clubs. You know, that's my first addiction, music, dancing all night, drinking, you know, taking drugs. The cocaine comes in, you know, and then the free base come in and it's just crazy. And the cocaine and the champagne and the ecstasy. When I was young, my first drug was Valium, actually. Alcohol then Valium, getting out of it, smoking hash oil, all of that shit. And it's not about even how much drugs I did. I used anything to change the way I felt. I don't know about any of you. I use people, I use men, I use sex, I use clothes, designer clothes, power, a good-looking man with a nice body, with a nice bum, he's going to change the way I felt. Outside stuff, men and women drink for the effect. Recovery is an inside job. You see, recovery is an inside job today. If I'm here seeking someone's approval or fixing on something, no. Because this illness is bigger than me. No human power could conquer it. So I have to have God's help. It has to be something greater, something supernatural. But you will get there if you're new. You will get there slowly but surely. Don't worry about it. As long as you're willing to believe, your willingness could be as small as a mustard seed. You're on your way. Welcome. If you can't get this, keep coming back. You are the most important person in the room, is the newcomers. You know, so that's how my life was. I met my husband, you know, and I remember the same night he broke my ribs, literally. He stepped on my ribs, broke my ribs, so I don't leave him. And I stayed with him 12 years. So that tells you that I had a low self-esteem and a low self-worth because I thought I was a worthless piece of shit and nobody want me. I thank God that, you know, that this man want me. That belief system, all of that had to change. The big book tells me I had to have a psychic change, rearrangement of thinking, that the common sense become uncommon sense. Everything had to be sane, sound, ideal. All of that bullshit. I know you guys might think it's funny, but these things, it's not good for us. You cannot put one foot in, one foot out. Once you turn your life and your will over to the care of God, you cannot be a bear witness if you're living that kind of life. Dishonest, selfish, resentful, afraid. And you are worthy of love. See, the Bible tells me love is kind, love is patient. Love does not envy, love does not anger, love does not resent. Love persevere. True love never dies. Someone's there hitting you, calling your names, pulling your hair, putting you down, including a sponsor. See you later, mate. This is about love. That's why they call it the fellowship of the spirit. I'm not of this world. I'm of the spiritual world. It's hard for me to explain, and it's hard for me to express this in words. But once you go through it, you will say, a mouse said it once. I know exactly what you mean. You either had it or you haven't. Many of us are sober, but very few of us have had a spiritual awakening, change of thinking, change of heart, like reborn. You know, and that's how my life was. Suffered domestic violence for 12 years, had a daughter, ended up with someone else after 12 years. That man introduced me to crack. And all through this marriage, cocaine, weed, alcohol, cocaine, weed, alcohol. I cannot do life without a drink or a drug. I couldn't function. See, when I came into sobriety, great many years, one day at a time, I really thought that crack cocaine and alcohol and drugs was my problem. When you guys told me it was a solution for how I felt, I laughed. I didn't understand it, but it makes sense now being around. You know, it was a solution for how I felt about myself because I had to use something from the outside. I was irritable, restless, discontent. I've got a spiritual malady, never satisfied, always looking for problems, always looking for something else to fix. So I had to take something to change the way I felt. It really made sense. So now I've got to find a bigger solution, you know, something bigger than my illness because I cannot conquer this on my own. So I ended up on crack cocaine, you know, for 16 years. I remember using a few months, using a couple of months, using a few weeks, and then every day, every minute, every second, and it was mad. I can't even believe which one was violent, George or my other husband. They were both violent. I truly believe I attracted that kind of people, my behavior. My children would watch me getting beat up and blah, blah, blah. My children would watch me getting abused and there were two little girls. You know, my younger one was crawling around and I'd be held hostage in my home. And the next day, I would let that man in. I remember 5 a.m. I heard a knock in the window and it was a guy called Daddy D. He died, you know, and he was really rough and he's really horrible. He was my, his soul rest in peace. I've forgiven him today, you know, and he would come and he would abuse me and he would rape me and he would rape me and he wouldn't give me any crack and I'd be begging and he wouldn't give me and he would eat my food and he would terrorize my house and he would bring others. And I go back and we do it. I thank God for this program. I thank God for Bill and Bob. I thank God for a sponsor who's armed with the facts, with a message that holds depths and weights. Because if I didn't understand and I didn't know that I was just a sick person and I'm powerless, I would have taken my fucking life. Thank God it made sense. I haven't got a memory of the humiliation of a week or a month ago. Consequences do not keep us from drinking or drugging. Many people go to prison. Next week, they're back doing a longer sentence. Many people get raped. They go back and redo it, and they don't understand why. That's why it's important that you work these steps so you can forgive yourself. You cannot stay sober, you know, carrying that big bag of worry, anger, resentments. Look at me. I'm not a good mom. Look what I've done. Let me tell you, if I didn't do this, I would have fucking used a long time ago. I fucking done a lot of bad things to my children. Not hurt them, but I hurt them by leaving them home alone. I left them at school gates many nights in the rain, in the snow, that I find them laying down in the school by themselves. I left them at home without gas, without electric, without food. You know, they split them from care. There were three of them and they split them. My elder daughter still blame me. She was at my house at Christmas. I'm cooking for everyone, including the homeless, driving around all night, feeding. She still started at night before I drop her. When I drop everybody, she started. Don't think, Mom, you can make up for what you've done. Because of you, I lost my brother. You know, the pain is real for me. Because you see, because of crack cocaine, I was fucking gang raped. That was the last rape. I was put to sleep for 3 days, jumping in someone's car. That was the last sexual abuse. I could sit here and write a fucking book. How many times I was kidnapped by girls, by boys. I was held hostage for weeks. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. That's the consequences. May you never go there. I pray in the name of God, may you never experience that kind of pain. And I know that you experience pain within yourself. Inside you felt like you was a lone wolf. You know, you was blocked. I get it. But that pain that I went through, the consequences, they are just horrendous. You know, you never go there for the women or for the men. You know, consequences of that, you know, I got pregnant. I didn't even know I was pregnant at that gang rape. I had a little boy conceived from rape. His name's Dominic, and I've got a tattoo in my arm. And I loved my boy with all my heart. You see, my son was adopted when I was a year sober. I could easily use over that if I didn't have a program. I was diagnosed with HIV when I was a year and a half. There you are. I could easily rest on my laurels. Wake up and be full of fear. Oh, God, I'm going to die of AIDS. Where's my son? Blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not using today because I have had a spiritual awakening. I don't want to be asleep. I don't want to be blocked because I have a purpose today. I serve a mighty God, the God of power, the God of love. How could I be so ungrateful and pick up? Because you see, once I pick up, I'm blocked. The God we serve is closer to us than breathing. It's inside each person. He has no respect of a person. He doesn't pick and choose. Seek and you shall find. God has come to all who honestly seek God. If you draw near him, he will disclose himself to you. Page 57. But I was asleep to the fact there was a presence of God within me. I was blocked so I could not feel the presence. So the first 9 steps are designed to waken my spirit. 10, 11, and 12 is to keep me awake. It tells me that in page 62, that I was driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, stepping on the toes of my fellows. They retaliate. Sometimes they hurt me seemingly without provocation. Above everything, we must get rid of selfishness or it will kill us. I cannot do that on my own power. Thank you, John. I had to have God's help. This is how and why of it. I had to quit playing God. It doesn't work. He's the father. I'm the child. He's the director. I'm the agent. And if I perform his work well, he will keep me safe and protected. And he has. I sat in the middle. I done a lot of head chanel, a lot of hospitals and institutions. I traveled, 5 hours to take 1 hour meeting, carrying a big book for a great many years. Got maximum security, sitting with older men, sitting with older women. I sponsored thousands. I still sponsor many because there's no page in the book tells me I shouldn't. Why don't you do it? So I had to look at myself. I had to do my own step for the inventory is mine. I had to see my rapists as sick people. I had to ask God to show them the same patience, tolerance, and pity that we cheerfully grant a sick person. Thou will not mine be done. God save me from being angry. I cannot hate my rapist and do God's will. I cannot bear witness step 3, step 7, and do God's will. I had to let them go because they're sick people. You see, the God we serve loves me exactly as he loves them. The difference between me and my rapist, I've become God conscious. I'm spiritually awake one day at a time, and they're not. So if I've developed those 6 senses they talk about, step 10 stuff, love and tolerance of others is our code, cease fighting anything or anyone, recall from it like a hot flame, I've entered the word of the spirit. Our next function is to grow and understand in effectiveness. I have to be effective in every area. I work in the care system. I work with all people. And it's been crazy in this quarantine, back to back. I don't have a day off. And I'm sharing in a fucking car, as you can see. And I'm still going to jump another meeting. Then I'm going to host another meeting till 12:30 tonight. 24-hour meeting. And that's how it is. I have to work this shit like my life depends on it. I don't know about any of you. I've got to. I don't want to die. I am the hopeless, helpless type. Step 1 tells me there will be a day I'll be taken to a mental blank spot. Like the story of Fred, there was no cloud in the horizon. So I've got to work this on a daily basis. What I did 10 years ago will not keep me in fit spiritual condition. So for the newcomers, I'm about to wrap up, For the newcomers, keep coming back. For the old comers, keep coming back. Thank God we've got somewhere to go. This is a we program and we never alone. You never alone. Find a sponsor. And work the steps and find something supernatural, a higher power that you believe in, as long as it's not me, because it has to be supernatural. Rarely have we seen a person fail who thoroughly follows our path. I had to make amends and I continuously make amends. I love myself today and there's no one out there that can cause me misery. When people do me wrong, I said, this is a sick person. Thou will not mine be done. My God looks after it. He pays my wage. He take care of all of that. So I'm not going to question why he's horrible to me. Why is my daughter horrible? I can't change people because I'm not God. What will be, will be. What's done is done. The past is the past. Tomorrow is fear of the unknown. If I see my son, I see my son. If I get AIDS, I get AIDS. If I live, I don't know. What I can do is my best today. Today I will do my best to trust God, clean house, help others. I'm truly, truly grateful to be of service, guys. I love you all. I'm going to leave my number in the chat. Please message me. And when I'm sharing, you guys can join me. And I'm here to talk to you guys, newcomers, oldcomers. Thank you so much for letting me be of service. Love you guys.